Chapter 1. Sociology and the Study of Social Problems. On the study site for Chapter 1, National Public Radio's Laura Sullivan reports on the problem of overcrowding in California's San Quentin prison. She describes the living conditions of inmates confined in the prison's gymnasium as a giant game of Survivor with 300 players. As she interviews the men, it becomes apparent how the prison's physical and social structures affect their well-being, their physical safety, their personal identity, touching nearly every aspect of their lives. We live in a society that tends to blame social problems, such as poverty, unemployment, or drug abuse, on individual deficiencies or weaknesses. However, the sociological perspective reminds us how personal experiences and problems are connected to our social world. Think of it this way. Sociology reminds us how we are part of something bigger. In this podcast, we focus on the inescapable power of social structures. C. Wright Mills explained the relationship between one's private troubles and larger public issues. If we used our sociological imagination, Mills said that we would be able to see the connections between our lives and the social and historical context in which we live. The first sociologist to promote the connection between the social structure and the individual was Emile Durkheim. Durkheim had a profound influence on sociological theory and methods. Though his sociology is more than a century old, his influence on the discipline and on our understanding of social problems cannot be underestimated. One of Durkheim's most important sociological contributions was his emphasis on the social structure. He argued that society was sui generis, an objective reality existing independently from the individuals who comprise it. According to Durkheim, society exists as a set of social facts. He defined social facts as the social structures, the norms, values, and beliefs that are external to and coercive of individuals. For example, though each of us comes from a unique family, this one-of-a-kind collection of parents, siblings, and other relatives, the institution of the family has an objective and separate reality from you and your family members. Society acknowledges that there is an institution of the family, and along with it, an existing system of norms, values, and beliefs that serve as a set of guidelines defining how a family should function, what constitutes a happy family, identifying specific roles and responsibilities assigned to fathers and mothers, and to what it means to be a good daughter or son. These social facts are external, invisible to us, yet internalized so that we accept and follow these norms, values, and beliefs. Durkheim wrote, "Institutions may impose themselves upon us, but we cling to them. They compel us, and we love them." The social structure is what holds us together, not just one individual to another, but as individuals to society. Durkheim considered how in a modern industrial society, individuals become socially integrated, what he also referred to as social solidarity. Though Karl Marx believed that the capitalist division of labor was problematic, Durkheim argued that the division of labor was the chief source of social solidarity. He identified two types. The social structure is what holds us together, not just one individual to another, but as individuals to society. Durkheim considered how in a modern industrial society, individuals became socially integrated, what he also referred to as social solidarity. Though Karl Marx believed that the capitalist division of labor was problematic, Durkheim argued that the division of labor was the chief source of social solidarity. He identified two types. Mechanical solidarity was characteristic of primitive pre-industrial societies. Individuals are referred to as generalists. Everyone is engaged in similar economic activities and responsibilities. Solidarity is based upon a feeling of oneness, knowing that everyone is doing, is feeling the same thing. With a strong attachment to family and tradition, under mechanical solidarity, individuals are joined by common beliefs and sentiments. On the other hand, organic solidarity is characteristic of modern industrial societies. Individuals are referred to as specialists, each with a particular role, one that is highly interdependent with others in a complex division of labor. For example, your role as student is interdependent with others, your professor, your advisor, and other students. Solidarity doesn't come from each person doing or believing in the same thing, but from individual differences and knowing that each person is doing their part for the good of the structure. With weaker attachments to family and tradition, under organic solidarity, individuals are joined together by relationships characterized by specialized functions. Another of Durkheim's contributions to sociology is his use of formal research methods and data to examine social facts. In his most famous study, Durkheim examined a phenomenon that most people think of as an individual act, suicide. He wasn't concerned with why an individual committed suicide. Psychologists can explain that. But as a sociologist, he was interested in the statistical rate of suicide, examining why a particular society or social group would have higher rates of suicide than others. As opposed to an individual act, he examined suicide as a social fact. Based on more than 26,000 suicide records from France, Germany, England, and Denmark, Durkheim began his study by testing and rejecting a series of alternative explanations of suicide: psychopathology, alcoholism, race, heredity, and the weather. Ultimately, Durkheim concluded that the variation in suicide rates was due to differences in two social facts: the level of social integration, or the attachment to others, and the level of social regulation, or the impact of norms on individual behavior. His research links suicide to the social structure, and in doing so, he validated sociology as a perspective and a science that could be used to understand our human experience. Now it's your turn. Apply your sociological imagination to the lives of the San Quentin inmates. A link to Laura Sullivan's story can be found on the study site under the audio and video archives for Chapter 1. How does the prison's social structure define and limit the inmates' lives? Is the prison an example of mechanical or organic solidarity? And finally, using your sociological imagination, how do you think a sociologist might study their chaotic and violent existence?